podcasting from Knoxville, along the banks of the mighty Tennessee River. This is the Startup Knox podcast featuring interviews with local entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Brandon Bruce, and today we continue our series of interviews in partnership with Webb School of Knoxville. Each student in the Introduction to Entrepreneurship and Design Thinking course will interview a local entrepreneur. In this episode, Dylan Satz, class of 2023, interviews Brad Satz, founder of Identity.
All right,
here we go. This is Dylan's show.
This is Brad Satz. He's the CEO and founder of Level Goods Consolidated Marketing and Ortiz 34. So let's start off like a little bit about each of those companies.
So Consolidated Marketing is a company that helps companies, big companies, get into major retailers. So my background is mostly with major retailers and getting into them. Level Goods is a supplement and vitamin company that we just started. So we're manufacturing vitamins and supplements and then getting into major retailers. And then Ortiz 34 is a baseball brand that I did with David Ortiz. Mm-hmm.
All right, so when did you first realize you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
pretty young. I mean, I realized that I didn't like listening to people, so I didn't want a boss. I think that was one of the first things. And then I think realizing that that I wanted to make a lot of money. And then when I was younger, I started a company for auto detailing. And I used to hustle my parents' friends when they would come over, and I'd wash their cars and do all that stuff. And from that, I just realized that this is for me and just started companies after that.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is the most important part of being an entrepreneur?
Risk, man, being all in. You know, no matter what happens, you gotta keep your head down and just keep grinding away. I think that's pretty much the biggest thing, is just being all in.
All right, so what's your favorite part about being an entrepreneur?
Starting things, building something from nothing. So, you know, with a lot of the brands that we build, they start from just an idea and a concept, and then you get them onto the retail shelf, and you go and you see your products on the retail shelf, and then, you know, just walking down the street and seeing people use your products as they're walking by and realizing that that product's there because of something that you built.
Yeah. So what's the most difficult part, you think?
Difficult?
Yeah.
Dealing with people and relying on people. So, I think that's probably, you know, having to deal with, you know, people not following through on things and making sure that everything's getting done. And that's everything from inside the office, from, I always say I'm the janitor and I'm also the CEO. So you have to deal with everything in between and make sure everything's getting done.
All right. So how do you accept defeat, like within your companies, and like if a company doesn't succeed the way you wanted it to, how do you accept that and still want to keep going with like with your dreams?
Accepting defeat is tough. I think you just got to focus on the next opportunity. You know, we had a big deal years ago with a few years ago with like Nick Cannon doing a tablet, and that thing, you know, we thought it was too big to fail. So we got to the point where at the end it fell flat on its face, but because of the market change, so the tablet market changed, and then we thought it was, you know, all the retailers were really excited about it and we had a bunch of people behind it, so we thought it was going to be, you know, this big deal, and it didn't sell through at retail. So just because you get into these retailers doesn't mean that you're going to be successful. So it's not about the sell in, it's about the sell through. And the product just wasn't selling through. The price point was too high, and there was a lot of things that we didn't pay attention to. We got a little bit cocky because of all the people we had behind it, and it just fell flat on its face.
Let's see. You've worked a lot with like different celebrities and athletes. How do you think that contributes to a company, or like if that does contribute to a company at all?
I think from a marketing sense, it definitely does. You know, when you can tap into someone's Instagram and get, you know, someone that has 10 million followers, 15 million followers, and you can get that access out into the market, it's great. But like I just mentioned too, it also gives you false hope, right? Because you think, oh, I have this celebrity, like we were working with Jamie Foxx and with Handle, with another company that I was working with, and it didn't work out, but we thought it was gonna be big. So I think it's false hope. But it's also great from a marketing standpoint because you're able to get into so many different faces and grow the awareness.
Okay, so how is the startup of Level Goods? And you talk about how it's like kind of different from your past companies. How is that? How did you start that one up? And how do you feel like it's different from some of the past companies that haven't done as well?
I think with Level Goods, I don't have any partners, so I think that helps. So I can make decisions the way that I want it to run, and being able to be quick, because you know we got into vitamin supplements and we had a manufacturer up in Denver, and then I realized that I don't want to rely on somebody else for manufacturing, so I went out and bought four moguls to make gummies and powders and stuff for hydration stick packs. So being able to be completely vertically integrated and not have to rely on anybody else, that was a big deal for us. And then also tapping into my network at the retailer. So reaching out to these buyers and seeing the interest before I put the product out there. Is there an interest? Is there an opportunity for this product? And then seeing that in the US, and US manufacturing is huge right now because getting stuff in from China right now is very difficult. So being able to rely on manufacturing in the US and manufacturing my own products and not relying on anybody is a big deal. So I think that's big.
Yeah. So even as a kid, you were telling me like it's all about who you know. Like how have, since you've been in the business for so long, how have your relationships helped you like move forward with some of your businesses, and how important is that to you?
I mean, that I always say your network is your net worth, right? So your network is everything. So being able to tap in, and even if you're not doing business with certain people, you should always stay on top of them. You know, a good example of that is during the pandemic, you know, I used to manufacture a lot of products in China. I don't anymore, but I had a lot of relationships there. So when the pandemic happened, no one could get masks. So I reached out to the governor of Massachusetts, the mayor of Massachusetts, and he was able to hook me up, and we were able to supply the entire state with masks for the first 4 months of the pandemic. So I was able to do that because of my relationships that I had previously with other companies in China. When no one else could get anything in from China, we were able to actually bring over masks and help, you know, hundreds of thousands. I mean, we brought over millions of masks, so we were able to help supply and deliver this when no one else could during the middle of the beginning of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. All right, so last question. What was the biggest failure in your business success you've ever had in your experiences?
My biggest failure?
Yeah.
Are you going to put me on the spot like that?
Yeah.
biggest failure. Probably the hardest one to swallow for me was when we were doing the tablet with all those guys. That was tough to swallow because of how big it was, and it wasn't necessarily our fault. It was not being able to manufacture the product right, and then the market dropping out. So that was definitely probably the hardest one. It took me a little while to take them all on the chin and then continue to go. But you know, you got to take a couple weeks and realize what you did wrong and try to think, all right, what went wrong? How could I have changed this? And then bring that into the next company. And sometimes you don't even realize what you learned from that for a couple of years down the road. But you know, I've learned a lot more from my failures, and I've had far more failures. I think that's the one thing about being an entrepreneur is don't be scared to fail. I've had so many failures and only a few successes. So you learn a lot more from your failures.
Yeah. All right, does anybody have any questions?
What's your favorite company that you started?
My favorite company?
Yeah.
This is the one I'm doing right now for Level Goods, for vitamins and supplements, stuff like that. That's coming quick. Working with David Ortiz is fun. I've known him for a while, so you know, we put together a whole line of baseball accessories that's in Walmart right now, and we're actually launching in the beginning of the season. We're launching baseball gloves for professional athletes. So we're gonna have a full line of Ortiz 34 baseball gloves that a lot of the players will be wearing. So coming this season, so that's exciting. But I would say the vitamins and supplements for me is, because it's my own without anybody else, that's probably my favorite right now.
Okay. You mentioned like...
This is a tough question, guys.
Yes.
I'm just really smart. So you mentioned like trying to like sell some of your products and pilot and like bigger retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Like how do you go about like starting a deal with them?
So it's a lot of it is, again, getting back to your network. So my father started a manufacturer's representative company like 47 years ago. And through him, I got into it and started to, there's very few retailers these days. Back in the day, there used to be a lot of retailers. Now there's Walmart, the big ones. So there's Walmart, there's Target, there's, you know, there's Pilot, there's Love's. You know, there's a handful of big retailers. So if you're not doing business with those retailers, then you're not in business. So I think, you know, just knowing how to do business with these guys, a lot of times it's just cold calling. Like Pilot, I have a sales guy that works for me, Darnell, and he just cold called the hell out of him. And finally, he got them on the phone, and he told them, you know, good thing vitamins right now and health products are on the rise. And he just capped off a good relationship with them. But a lot of their, like, Target, Walmart, we've been doing business with them for so long that they know us personally. So we're able to tap into that, whether we know the buyer that buys for that category or we know the, you know, one of the senior guys that puts us in touch with the right person. It's just years of just doing that. But a lot of the stuff is just knocking on doors and just not giving up and just continuing to call and just pushing your products.
What's your ending goal? Like, do you want to sell?
So for Level Goods, we have a 3 to 5 year plan, which is to grow the company and then sell it. Healthcare companies right now are going for, especially in this market, in like gummies for vitamins, and then the hydration, like Liquid IV. I'm sure you guys all know Liquid IV. So that's exploding right now. So these companies are getting bought for stupid money right now. So our goal is in the next 3 to 5 years to grow it. And we're one of the only companies in the category that's completely vertically integrated. So we own it from the manufacturing. So all we do is buy the raws, we manufacture it, we brand it, and then we're also making private label and white label products. So a lot of the brands that you guys see on the shelves, if it's a gummy or it's hydration stick packs, we're probably gonna be making it. So the goal is in the next 3 to 5 years to sell and then move on to the next one, because I can never retire or anything like that. It's not for me. I just like the grind too much. It's too much fun for me. And I think that's another thing too, is love what you do. Every day I wake up and I jump out of bed ready to go because I love what I do and it's fun. And it's, if you don't love what you do, I see these people that go to work every day and they're miserable. It's no way to live. So make sure that you love what you're doing, because then it's not work. It's fun. So, what else?
What are you gonna do next after this?
I don't know, man. That's crazy. That's the thing about this business, is you never know. If you told me 2 years ago that I would be selling masks to the government, I would be like, you're out of your mind. Masks? I don't know anything about masks. And if you asked me if I would be in vitamins, I would say, no, I have no idea. So it's taking what comes to you. Like a year and a half ago, someone approached me and they were like, hey, listen, I'm in CBD, but it was gummy form. And they were like, and I looked into the business and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of cool, but I need to be able to sell to major retailers, because that's where my relationships are. So how can I take this business that he's was successful at, which is gummies, and bring it to mass retail? So I'm like, oh, I can just do vitamins and hydration stick packs. I saw that Liquid IV, their business was on fire. So I'm like, how do we knock them off and make it better? So we made our formula, which is sugar-free. And our branding, I think, is better. So we're gonna get a lot of marketing behind it in 2022. So I think it's just taking opportunities, diving into it, making sure that it's gonna make, that there's a need and a demand for it, and then going all in, and then just running it from there. So it's, you know, I could sit here and be like, oh, I'm gonna do sneakers in next year, but yeah, I don't know. It all depends on what comes along, what opportunities come along, and then jumping on those opportunities.
How do you create those white label relationships for the hydration sticks that you're talking about? Because you have access to retail, but then you're doing deals with folks that want access. Is that why they're coming to you, or are you reaching out to them?
So there's two things. So there's private label and there's white label. So white label, you're building for other brands, and then private label, you're building for retailers. So Pilot, for instance, where we just got our brand into Pilot for gummies, vitamins, and then the hydration. If that does well, then they're going to look into like, hey, why don't we private brand?
Okay.
Dollar General is another example. They're massive. They have 16,000 stores. They came to us because we did what's called an ECRM show. So you get in front of all these buyers for 15 minutes and you pitch your product. They were like, listen, we can't, everyone's lines are tapped out for gummies right now. If you guys can make gummies, we'll give you this business, and we'll give you 20 SKUs right off the bat. So I think it's a matter of becoming part of things like these ECRM or these events where you can get in front of these retailers, and then it's cold calling. So I have a whole team that just cold calls. I know a brand, we'll see a brand on the shelf, we'll literally turn it over, look up their website, find out their contact information, reach out to them and say, hey, you know, where are you buying your products from? Because none of these guys are making their own products, they're all buying it from a manufacturer. You know, where are you buying your products from? We'll beat your price, and we're a lot funner. We're a better time to have business with. We'll fly wherever they are. We'll take them out to dinner and talk to them, and basically line up the deal, and then so it's sort of a little bit of both. So it's more traditional, and it's more just getting down and dirty and going to do whatever it takes to lock up some of these deals.
I hope that at some point you get to, someone walks in a store and regardless of the brand
sure.
they choose, they're buying something that
that's the goal, exactly. Yeah. So that's the goal, is getting to that point. And then also what I realized in certainly the gummy business is a lot of these guys don't know what they're doing. But where I've been in manufacturing for so long, like I look at how they're operating their business and their lines tap out, and I'm like, well, why aren't you going out and buying more moguls, which are the machines that make the gummies? I'm like, you guys should have 15 moguls. Why aren't you just continuing to grow? And they're like, no, we're good with the size we're at right now. It's all we can handle. All you can handle. So I think it's just a different mindset. And that's what I'm most excited about, because usually I'm in categories like tech where, like, you know, cell phone cases or cables or stuff like that. And there's not a lot of, everyone knows their business, and it's a well-oiled machine. This business is so new, not a lot of people know what the hell they're doing. So taking what I've learned from this side of the business and bringing it over to the gummy side of the business, is, I think it's going to be very beneficial for us.
Yeah. And then are you guys selling direct also? Is there a Level Goods website people can buy direct?
Yeah.
And then you go through other big e-commerce retailers too? Amazon, etc.
Yeah. So we have three brands. We have Level Goods. We have a brand called Yellow, Y-E-L-O. Which is almost like a, you know, Ollie, the brand Ollie, like vitamins. It's like an Ollie knockoff. And then we have Maya. And the reason I made Maya is for the off price. So a lot of times when you sell retailers, you sell off price. Off price is like Target, not Target, like TJX, like the discount stores, Marshalls, those kind of guys. Because the big retailers don't like to walk into those retailers and see the same products for $10 less than they're retailing for. So I made a brand, knowing that, I made a brand just for the dollar stores, the TJX's and those guys. And then I have my retail brand, which is Yellow, for mass retail like Target, Walmart, and those guys. So knowing the market and knowing that these guys don't like to buy, a lot of guys wouldn't know that. So they'll go sell these guys and they'll sell these guys. And then you'll have like Target will walk into Dollar General and see your stuff for $4.99 when they're at $9.99 and be like, no, you're out of here. I'm not. You're making me look like a fool. So I think knowing the marketplace and, again, bringing it into this business is going to be beneficial for us big time.
It sounds like that's something that Target does. They'll send out secret shoppers and
they 100%
their market.
They shop stores. I mean, they have people that just go and travel around to shop out stores. And you get in a lot of trouble. I mean, trouble because they'll say, either lower my price or you're out. Because they never want to be price cut.
Yeah.
So again, it's just taking the knowledge of over 20 years and just implementing that into this business. So it's fun. It's exciting.
Absolutely. More questions, ladies, gentlemen? So you said you were flying back to Boston. So
yep.
It's all the business based in Boston. Is that kind of HQ?
Yep. So our corporate office is in downtown Boston. And then I bought a facility recently about 45 minutes outside the city. And then we have a big facility there that picks, packs, and ships. So it's almost like a warehouse setup. And we ship over 7,500 orders a day right now out of that to individual customers. And then we also, within that facility as well, we also have manufacturing. So we have four big machines that are like 50, 70 feet long that manufacture gummies and all that stuff. And then my hydration stick packs are made in Texas right now, but we're gonna be doing that. I wanna have that in Boston as well soon.
So the goal, hopefully, regardless of pandemic, would be to stay domestic. There's an advantage to being.
I'll never work in China
all
again.
Here. Yeah.
So I've worked in China pretty much my entire career, except for the past 5 years. And there's so many different, especially with everything going on right now, between the tariffs that they raised on everything. They're only allowed to work right now. They shut down the entire grid in China, so they're only allowed to work 2 days a week on anything that's being exported. There's just way too much, and I just don't like China. It's just not a place I want to travel to. If there's something wrong, I need to be able to be there quickly and to be able to, and I also like going there and seeing my manufacturing. So I don't think I would ever manufacture outside of the US again.
Yeah. And there's a nice PR advantage probably, right?
Huge. Yeah, tax breaks too.
Tax breaks to be able to say to the consumer, this is design made, shipped.
Yep. And people like Walmart, Target, they love when it says made in the USA.
Yeah.
And they love to be able to, actually the senior guy from Pilot actually came out to our facility for a tour. You know, being able to do that, you can't do that when you're in China. And you're just a me too when you're in China. When you're in the US, there's a lot on the PR side and and with the relationships that you can manage by having a domestic.
Nice.
So.
Sorry, one last question. So, as you said, like, it's a lot easier to do it in the U.S. and there's so many benefits. Is there not, there's a lot of high demand, you assume, doing that. So how much more expensive is it to manufacture in the U.S. compared to China?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's definitely, it used to be a lot cheaper in China.
Yeah.
But with costs of shipping right now, which are through the roof,
yes.
The tariffs, all the other stuff that's going on, it's actually pretty relative. And especially when you get out, so part of the reason why my facility is an hour, you know, 45 minutes to an hour outside of the city is because I can get my cost of labor cheaper out there. So you can get, I mean, it's definitely a little bit more expensive. It's definitely, it used to be like this, and now it's more like this when you factor in all the costs. And you can't get product. I mean, there's container loads. There's like 72 ships sitting outside of the port of LA right now trying to get in. I mean, you just can't get anything. I mean, if you guys go online right now, you see everything's, anything you order is months away. And being able to be quick is a big deal. So we're able to do that by doing domestic. But it's definitely leveled out a little bit. And a lot of the tax benefits, too, that you're able to get now are a big deal.
Have you had any difficulty trying to find employees?
Yeah.
And, like, will that ever, like, what if you can't find any employees? Are you going to go back to China? Or?
No. definitely had, right now, it's hard to get people to work. We actually have, so because it's an hour outside of the city, obviously, it's a pretty rural area, so you can't get out, there's not that many people to begin with. So what we started to do is we have a van now. I went and just bought a van, and I have someone that I'm paying them for an hour while they sit in the van and go there and go back. Because much easier to get people from the city to work because there's a lot more, you know, the population is bigger. So now every day I have a van. So we run 10-hour shifts. So we run 20 hours a day. And I literally have a van coming out, picking up and dropping off, and then going back to the city because of that issue. But it's hard to find good people right now, for sure. But I think that'll change, I think, over the next, you know, probably 2022, as things change with how they're giving away money right now. I think that'll change a little bit, and it'll level out.
A lot of opportunities for you all, too.
Yeah.
Good time to get out.
You guys want a job, let me know.
That's right. Yeah. Thanks so much.
All right,
thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Have a good Thanksgiving break, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next Monday.